This is part two of Dialogue Conspiracy. And we are with, as we are every week at this time, political research specialist Mae Brussel. Mae, we're talking about conventions, the Glasshouse Papers, Lewis Tackwood, the Watergate Hotel. Why don't you pick it up?
Okay, we're talking about the break-in at the Watergate Hotel, June 17th, and five men were arrested. The Watergate Hotel is in Washington, D.C., the home of John and Martha Mitchell. It sounds like a soap opera, you know, the little sweetheart. He refers to it as the little sweetheart, John and Martha Mitchell. And it's also the home of the Democratic National Committee. And five people were arrested with bugging devices and surveillance equipment at the Watergate Hotel. And we're going into who these people were. One of the men was James McCord, 19 years with the CIA. And we'll get back to Lewis Tackwood on the motive for Squad 19, which corresponds to the break-in at the Watergate Hotel, where Tackwood talks about the plans to cancel the election and create chaos and riots in the street. Now I'm going into the information that I've accumulated about what I call the Watergate gang and how would they fit into this Squad 19 plan. The most shocking revelation was that the man arrested, James McCord, who had the dual job of chief of security for the Republican National Committee and the chief of security for the Republican National Convention, is a lieutenant colonel reserves in the United States Army. And James McCord sits on a special 16-man unit in Washington, D.C., the emergency contingency unit to take care of radicals. This is his job. Is that James McCord sits, and 4 months ago he left that unit because they said, well, he is off of the unit now. But an Army colonel and a captain in the Navy both gave information about McCord on that committee. The Army, the Navy, the reserves are all tied in, and the unit goes directly to the White House. I said the White House is in on this contingency plan. It's directly connected to the White House. Howard Hunt is connected to the White House. That unit is connected to the White House. The contingency, the part that McCord worked with, was in the communications in media. He had his own radio transmitter set up May the 7th, his own station in Washington, D.C., and on May the 7th, he was in his own radio frequency set up May the 7th for James McCord. And his walkie-talkies connected to the White House to Hunt. I keep repeating that because on some of the shows I referred to the book, The Death of Democracy, Greece and American Conscience. And it's the story of how the CIA overthrew Greece. And the important thing was that new people in office were in strategic positions of communications. And I hope we have time to go into the men of communications that are new in the White House. I've broken down all of the men in communications that were in the White House that already, the same people that overthrow Greece, those that canceled the elections there, are also connected to the Watergate team. McCord had his own radio frequency. He belonged on the 16-man unit. That connects directly to your White House. Howard Hunt, the man who worked with McCord for 19 of years in the CIA, Hunt was there 21 years, who had the gun, the walkie-talkies, worked on a special task force in two emergency periods. I don't know what they were. Hunt has been defined as a person who is against radicals. He canceled a subscription to Brown University Alumni Magazine because blacks protested at a riot or a demonstration at Brown against the war in Vietnam. When Henry Kissinger spoke at graduation at Brown University, Hunt came back at the students and slammed the radicals. There are no patriotic Americans. And he made a speech about the lack of patriotism in America. The same patriotism that Howard Hunt wants, he's a very far right-wing Republican, is the kind that Nazi Germany called patriots, but when the war was over, we hung them in Nuremberg as war criminals. They did the worst crimes in the world. Those were the patriots. Howard Hunt is the White House man, is very right-wing, against radicals, against the demonstrations of the blacks. He's on record for these. And the task force, the two emergencies that he worked for, I would like to know whether they had to do with the riot following King's death or the political assassinations or the coup after Diem was overthrown. See, he was in the CIA during all of this, the overthrow of Greece, the overthrow of Diem that was planned by them, the past political assassinations and the death of King and the rioting. He is known for his special task force. Now, the man who first took credit for hiring Hunt in the White House, and later they denied it, was Charles Colson, who is the man described in all the media as doing the dirty work for Richard Nixon. He does the dirty. Why the President of the United States needs dirty work, I don't know. But one example the media gave of the kind of work Colson does, and he works with Hunt, is when Senator Tidings was running for office in Maryland, Life magazine accommodated Spiro Agnew and Nixon and ran smears against Tidings that he was involved in a lot of corruption in Maryland. And then when the elections were over and Tidings lost the election, it turned out that he was innocent of all the charges, and Colson wrote the articles behind the White House removing a man from the Senate by smearing him through Life magazine. I've mentioned that as a source of CIA writers that are used all the time to make or break a person. They can build them up and slam them down by the directions of the White House, depending on how they want to manipulate candidates. And that is Charles Colson, described as Nixon's dirty man. He works with Hunt. Now, Frank Sturgis, at the White House, at the Watergate Hotel, was organizing Cubans to demonstrate in Miami. He has been rounded up. You see, after he was arrested, this is the way I got my information. So after the men were arrested, a rash of articles came out in the last 2 weeks about the various men. One article could say Sturgis spoke to some Cubans about demonstrations in Miami, and then the article could be about 30 other things, which I broke down and cross-filed into demonstrations, finances, and provocations, and 30 subject categories I broke down the Watergate operation into. But Frank Sturgis, in relation to the Taguig allegations, is the man who was organizing Cubans for the Democratic Republican conventions. They say two of the men at the Watergate Hotel were Democrats, therefore it wasn't a central plan to this thing. There were some Republicans, some Democrats. The central plan was to get the people out on the streets. Bernard Barker, Frank Sturgis, and Eugenio Martinez. Three of the men arrested at the Watergate with Mr. McCord, who's going to do the security in Miami, are known hiring agents of provocateurs specifically for these elections. They were also involved with the men in the entire Bay of Pigs operation and work with the CIA all the time. I'm talking about the conventions that are coming next week. Frank Sturgis was organizing Cubans to demonstrate in Miami. Eugenio Martinez had called the University of Miami to make reservations to bring in 3,000 young Republicans. Now, the Young Americans for Freedom was completely infiltrated by right-wing Nazi persons who organized in Munich, Germany. They came into Dallas, Texas at the time John Kennedy was killed, and they're supporting Agnew right now. So if Nixon were killed, there are a lot of people that want Agnew for president like they wanted Lyndon Johnson for president. And a group of violently radical right-wing Nazi hardcore extremists that think Nixon is a softy could be. I'm not saying there are. They could be those young Republicans. I would like to know the guest list of the 3,000 young Republicans that Martinez, with all of his money, has brought into Miami. Where are they going to go after they register? He is responsible for 3,000. They may be the San Diego crowd that would have done the demonstrations in San Diego, but specific reservations he is responsible for. And he has a lot of money. This $89,000 that he's working with these men could be his. Okay, Bernard Barker was arrested at the hotel. He was planning demonstrations for Richard Nixon. He wanted to prove of Richard Nixon's mining the harbor at Haiphong and demonstrate in favor of the war. Getting people on the street to demonstrate for Nixon's war at the Democratic and Republican convention is like the Sunday afternoon at the Roman Coliseum, or at the shooting out at the Soledad prison, the original shootout where they had the blacks and whites segregated and then opened up those cages and said, okay, boys, go out and do it, and then shot the three blacks they wanted to get all along on the spot. This is a very popular demonstration that Bernard Barker is lining up for this week down in Miami. They're all out on bail, these men, too. They're not locked up for this next week. Now, Bernard Barker is another beauty. He's a Democrat in the crowd. He, when they were arrested, they found the hotel suite that McGovern's going to use, the plans for his news conferences and his hotel rooms, were among the things confiscated at the Watergate Hotel. And not only that, but an architect named Bernard Glass in Miami said that 7 or 8 months ago, Bernard Barker had come in and wanted the floor plans. That was in our Monterey Herald here, that long article. But he wanted the floor plan of the National Convention. And he said he had a friend in Puerto Rico that wanted to build a convention hall. Could he have the floor plans of the Democratic National Convention? And the architect, who knew him for a long time, Leonard Glass, said, no, I don't have those, and I can't give them out. So he said, would you get me the air conditioning system for the whole convention hall in Miami, the air conditioning system? Well, you're going to blow up a lot of people. I'm not saying it was for that, but Tackler said they're going to have a lot of killing and demonstrations, and if you have the exits and the entries and the air conditioning system set up, and you're planning it months in advance, you certainly have something in mind. It isn't that they just want to set an electronic device, because these are the highest skilled snoopers in the entire world. They've been in agencies, counterintelligence, and espionage, cloak and dagger work for 11 known years and more before that. So Bernard Barker wants the air conditioning plans. He's caught with McGovern's hotel room plans. He's planning demonstrations for the approval of Nixon's mining. Worse than that, Bernard Barker offered Leonard Glass, he said, I have contacts high up in the White House, Howard Hunt in the White House, who, if you give me the air conditioning plans, will get you architectural contracts down in Central America. We have a lot of contacts, and we'll, you know, get you building buildings down in South America if you get us the air conditioning plans. That's how important the blueprints were for the Democratic Convention, and now that it's moved from Miami, the Republicans are going to share the room. Just last week, after these men were arrested, every key to the Democratic and Republican National Committee convention halls was stolen. And the keys had to be made over because every single room and lock on a 15-key master chain was taken from a locked case from a locked hotel room of the man responsible for the hall. Now, just by coincidence, one of the men arrested at the time at the Watergate, Mr. Virgilio Gonzalez, owns a lock shop. He's a locksmith down in Miami called the Stolen Lock Shop, or the Stolen Key Shop. You know, there's a lot of humor in this thing. Like the meeting of Barker from Miami, who's the funding man of the whole Bay of Pigs, up to Howard Hunt up in Washington, the conduit of funds to the plans of the Bay of Pigs. But Barker met the man that they were supposed to call, Mr. Cody. Barker's wife had a phone number the night of June 17th in case the boys weren't home from their little outing and didn't call by 3 a.m. She was to call an attorney named Mr. Caddy in Washington and get some help for them. Well, Mr. Caddy met Bernard Barker, the husband of the woman who called him, just a year ago, he said, at the Army-Navy Club in Washington, D.C. Well, the Army-Navy Club, the Army-Navy game was where John Kennedy was supposed to be killed. This is one of the coincidences that occurs through this whole thing. The plans to kill John Kennedy were in Miami, and the Secret Service got information about it and the whole blueprint of that assassination attempt, so they airlifted him in a helicopter to the hotel when he went to Miami. That was just weeks before he was actually killed. Then the killing plan was moved to Chicago, and the Secret Service got wind of that. The killing was to be at the Army-Navy football game, which again involved the name Oswald and a high-powered gun, and they went to the house of a man involved in this plot and took the guns away. So that was called off. And 3 weeks later in Dallas, John Kennedy was killed. But the Army-Navy game was where he was to be killed. And Bernard Barker met Cody, the lawyer who's to represent them at the Army-Navy Club. It's just a sideline of coincidences, like the locksmith with the missing, it's a missing link lock shop in Miami, Florida. And the week that the employee of the missing link lock shop is arrested, all the keys have to be remade down in Miami, probably the Missing Link Lock Shop. Now, the man who got away, supposedly Angel Ferrer, from the Watergate Hotel, was the man who trained at Fort Jackson with the United States Army. The veterans of the Bay of Pigs in 1961 were pulled back after the war, and they weren't satisfied that their military expedition was called off or that John Kennedy didn't want this kind of invasion of Cuba. So they got their heads together and got to Fort Jackson, where at least 8,000 of them formed troops called Ex Combatientes of the Bay of Pigs, the refugees from the Bay of Pigs, and they were trained with military arms and might. And Angel Ferrer had offered the Washington Committee direct action to combat the left-wing causes in Miami. The troops were offered direct action. That's the guns and bullets. So at the Watergate Hotel, you have James McCord, who is in charge of the security for the National Committee. And this is important. You see, Lewis Tackwood surfaced in 1971, and he had a press conference in Los Angeles. And he asked the New York Times, the Los Angeles Times covered it, the San Francisco Chronicle covered it, the Washington Post. Newsweek was invited. I don't remember if they had anything time or life. It was a large press conference, and he talked about Squad 19. Now, you would think that the Secret Service, in lieu of the plans to kill Richard Nixon or to take over the country in martial law, that you would think that the Secret Service, if it's there to protect a democracy where we vote for candidates and have an open government, a Congress and a cabinet and a government, would investigate the Lewis Tackwood charges about Squad 19 and every allegation, because they only had less than a year to do it. And if one bit of truth was in those allegations, the Secret Service would have known who they were hiring to protect the president and to avoid the provocations in Miami. No, the man who was hired by the Secret Service for the Republican convention works with the men hiring the provocation that's going to take place that would allow the martial law to happen. So it would even allow, you know, how do we know the chain of command that I've broken down, particularly through Mr. Barker and Sturgis down in Miami, links to the large operation in Texas, in California, that Lewis Tackwood was talking about, which does not include Richard Nixon in their plans, and I have said on many shows that I believe Richard Nixon would be killed. The chain of command from these people links to those elements in our American system that are much farther right. I have the names of three particular men that link up to the past assassination teams and church organizations as fronts, and they connect through the two Miami organizations of Bernard Barker and Frank Sturgis, who were arrested at the Watergate Hotel.
Now, you got all those names of these men that are involved in, you know, the Bay of Pigs invasion that didn't really come off.
Yeah.
And you've got the two conventions being held there in Miami, not far from Cuba. Lately, in the last few weeks, Fidel Castro has been in the Soviet Union, and just within the last 48 hours or so, the Soviet Union, in what's an unusual statement for the last few years, has come out demanding that the United States withdraw from Guantanamo Base in Cuba, and reaffirming their support for Fidel Castro. And suddenly, within the last few days, Cuba has become a source of interest to the Soviet Union, and a headline maker.
Remember last week on the show, I brought in an article about Cuba, that one article that said the State Department might send Nixon to Cuba before the elections, and I said if he needs those anti-Castro, anti-communist votes in Miami, why would they send him to Cuba? Because he's losing a hunk of the southern votes, you know? Well, and then I read the counter article with it, that the Soviet Union said, we'll always stand by you, Castro, we're one and the same, and they're communists. And then the news this Friday said the Soviet Union is in close combination with Cuba, the great love affair that hasn't been in the news all this time. There are reasons for this. If I put my thinking cap together, I would say this, that for one thing, I feel that the Soviet Union does not mind Richard Nixon either being killed or being president. They said last week he's the best candidate the Soviet Union can have, because so long as he stays in power, the fascism that's in this country surfaces, and it's not so subtle, and people know it. If you have Hubert Humphrey or Lyndon Johnson as the president, they are controlled by the fascists, but it's a little more subtle. You see, Johnson has all those Texas cronies around him. He doesn't have the Nazis like Strangelove, you know, the Kissingers and the whole German, the Kraut team up there. He is more subtle about it. It's just an old folksy gathering in the National Security Council, you know, when Johnson, their old corn pone, you know. But when you get Nixon with those hardcore Nazis and the Galen operation surfacing, working while Johnson was there, but more apparent, and everything Nixon does is more obvious and open in his fascist tactics, you know, it helps the communist cause. We have made more people communist or communist sympathizers since Nixon's been in power 4 years than we ever could do Certainly India, if it had a choice, would go all communist because they hate the United States. We send our traveling monkeys, I call them again, you know, Reagan's doing his voyage now and Kissinger's out there and Rogers, oh, three of them are out buttering the oil crowd, you know, grease for grease, and they're doing their traveling. It's so disgusting. But old Connolly's trying to talk the officials in India into being nice and sympathetic to America. And Mrs. Ghani was very firm, I do not approve of the war in Vietnam. She isn't bowing to American dollars. She did not kiss John Connolly and say, you're the great, you know, God from America. We're turning more people into communists as long as we have this kind of administration. We help the communist cause more than any other thing we could do. And so I think that the Russians will play up their love affair with Cuba and provoke a scene for Richard Nixon, like the invasion.
That's what I'm wondering, yeah.
Yeah, the invasion of South Vietnam at the time of election, moving south with his forces to say, okay, Dick, what are you really going to do?
Well, if you called, do you think you could call the Bay of Pigs invasion an attempt to appease the anti-Castro Cubans in the United States or to win their support?
You mean the intent of going into the Bay of Pigs at
right,
the
I'm
time?
Wondering, you know, if the same men who were involved in the Bay of Pigs are involved in the Watergate Hotel.
Oh, they're all involved.
The motive, if the Watergate Hotel operation had been successful, and you have to assume that it wasn't because the men were arrested and caught in the act, who lost?
Well, I know who gained. Maybe the electoral system gained. Maybe we'll be able, if it isn't hushed up too much, you see, it's hard. Who lost was the entire squad, 19, Richard Nixon on down, because it isn't true yet. You know, it's going to get into articles in the news media. And Richard Nixon, he lost the head of his committee to reelect him. John Mitchell, Martha Mitchell, said, I'm a prisoner. I'm a political prisoner. I've been assassinated. What country can I go to? I've seen dirty work. The whole exposure, Martha Mitchell says, I saw dirty work. Well, you know, they say cabinet wives and congressional wives are tired and they don't see their husbands. They have late hours and Martha's cracking. She wants her lover boy home. That's a bunch of bull. She doesn't want him home. She wanted him the head of the Justice Department. She was furious when he resigned in March. She didn't want him less hours because the Justice Department is more demanding. But now he gave up that all-important job of Attorney General of the United States to run the campaign. He's been forced to resign. He lost. Martha Mitchell is a prisoner. Somebody's going to lose. Either they're going to kill her. She's locked up now, and only a doctor can visit her. That was in the paper yesterday. And he's accompanied by a police. She's as much of a prisoner as Arthur Bremer, the alleged would-be assassin of Wallace, who's been moved to a mental hospital. They either have to alter his brain or kill him or isolate him or find him not fit for trial, because Richard Nixon and John Mitchell were in on that attempt at Wallace. The Hoover thing isn't over yet. Patrick Gray III isn't appointed. We don't have a head of an FBI. I think the Republicans are going to be running around a lot in the next few months, and the Watergate is going to do the thing that will point up to all of the things that they've gotten away so far.
How important are these ties to Cuba?
Well,
is it a coincidence that just the same team was used?
Well, the importance of Cuba was this. When Cuba was overthrown, almost every man that was in the invasion of Bay of Pigs would have worked with Castro. They supported Castro. They wanted him in. You see, Cuba was a gambling center. It was like Sicily is to the mafia. It was the headquarters of the syndicate and organized crime, which later had to shift to Las Vegas and New Orleans. It had to shift, but it was the world headquarters of the Western world, of organized crime and the syndicate. And the men who put Castro in could see that Batista was corrupt and cruel, and one of the men that was arrested at the Watergate was chief of police for Batista. But, you know, they were cutting off people's fingers and necks right and left, and Batista was cruel. And this team could see that Batista, the handwriting on the wall of Batista was going to be put out. The people couldn't stand his oppression. So they supported Castro to get into power. And when Castro got into power, he came in as a populist vote. He went to Cornell University. He's a scholarly person. He's a was interested in reforms, land reforms, economic reforms. So the same people that belonged to the Batista establishment switched their allegiance to Castro. But when Castro took power, he kicked them all out. He took the Hilton Hotel. He took the resort hotels. He turned them into hospitals and schools. And he said, just move your ass out of Havana, out of Cuba. I don't want you either. And they said, well, we help you fight guerrilla fighting to put out Batista. And he said, I don't want you. The land of Cuba is for the people, for their education, their health, their welfare, and you get out. And Russia, instead of America supplying Castro with the money to get rid of Batista, Russia came in and helped Castro make the reforms and kick the Americans out. We wanted it as another imperialist country. And so we, does that make sense? We were kicked out after we helped Castro get to power. Well, all the gambling tables were lost then. One of the men arrested at the Watergate Hotel was in charge of the gambling tables after Castro took over. And he represents the link to the organized crime. He was the head of the gaming table, see? But after Castro kicked them out, they came to the United States, and about 30,000 of them went to Spain, people that didn't want to live under Castro. And the large group, the elite economic class, the businessmen, the doctors, the lawyers, the people that were keeping the oppressed under their thumb and taking the wealth of the sugar economy and so forth, were kicked out of Cuba and fled, and their land was confiscated, and they moved to Miami. And the American State Department then was very anxious to recruit any refugees that were kicked out by communism as a team to reclaim that land. They said, we will help you. This is why in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, the Russian Refugee Committee, all of Lee and Marina Oswald's friends were oil people from the Soviet Union and hoped that by saying Oswald was a communist when he was actually an agent of Navy intelligence, that they could instigate anxieties against communism and increase this Cold War strategy, you see? So we use these refugees then to bake the basis of a military team that will go back. And in exchange for their working for the FBI and CIA, we offer them a lot of money, you know, in exchange for creating this communist thing. They help us have an excuse to build up an army against the evil communists. Just like John Mitchell's money goes to paid provocateurs to riot on the streets, and John Mitchell asks an increase of 10 million of uniforms and mace because we have rioters. It gives them every law of surveillance and data banks and communications that they need in the Justice Department. They create the need by paying the people to make fights on the streets and break buildings and burn buildings. Paid provocateurs did this at the time that Martin Luther King was killed. And then after they have the provocateurs clubbing and hitting and running and getting out of arrest, they're always immune from the arrest, then they create the law to take care of the next riot, and you get a new tax squad. So this kid created that Hitler got more power by putting down the radicals. He put the radicals on the street. He'd increase his power. Well, what I'm trying, I have to wind this up now, and it's a lot of material. I'll be doing it maybe for many weeks as I refer to the political assassination of John Kennedy. John Kennedy was killed because a group of people in Washington, D.C. and New York did not want his young opinion on certain reforms or his representing a broad base of people to take hold of the economy or the youth of this nation or the voters' imagination or the desire to end warfare state. He was killed, and Lyndon Johnson took his place. The team that manipulated that kind of a murder is a complicated team. It goes from the White House, from men like Richard Nixon and Howard Hunt. In those days, it was another team. And I have all their names, like George Bundy and Lyndon Johnson and that team on down. Rostow and Rusk, that was the team in those days. We go down to the FBI. John Mitchell is the Attorney General. And he still works with Patrick Gray. We don't even have an FBI head now. Goes on down to the armies, the paid provocateurs, the men in Miami, real estate men, notary public, the professional level. Such as Sturgis and Barker, who are prominent in Miami with well-known Republicans, well-known Democrats. It crosses both lines. One's a Democrat, one's a Republican. And they associate with the street fighters, the trained people, the army troops, like from Fort Jackson, the military. That's why the president said the military troops are going in to protect, in quotes, protect the election conventions. How do we know they're not going to protect or provoke like they did at Kent State? Right,
well,
on
we'll see you next week.
It's going to be a bad week. By next week, it'll be all over, right?
1 week of the conventions, anyway.
Yeah.
You've been listening to Mae Brussel, political research specialist. She'll be back next week. This has been Dialogue Conspiracy, a public affairs presentation of KLRB News. If you have questions that you want answered on future programs, or any comments, write Dialogue Conspiracy, KLRB, Box 3904, Carmel, California, 93921. I'm Phil Kogan.